When I say the word serve or service, what comes to mind? What comes to mind? Somebody washing your feet, giving you a foot massage? No, because nobody ever does that, right? When we say serve or serving, it conjures up different feelings, and sometimes it makes us a little bit nervous. And that's what we're looking at today. Serve with all of my heart. Serve with all of my heart. Serving is an action. It's a service that you do to another. It is not something you do for yourself. You do it for someone else. And therein is the challenge. Sometimes we have a very positive connotation with serve and serving. This past week, we observed Veterans Day for those who have served in the armed forces, those who have given of themselves for the protection of our country, for the to afford us the rights that we enjoy and the privileges and the freedom that we have. And so serving is a positive thing as well. But when service is confused with rule or control issues, service no longer is serving. Now, I'm not going to get on a high horse on this, so please don't get too upset. But we have elected officials in Washington, in Madison, and downtown who have been elected to serve the people, but some have chosen to use it to control. They have used it, they have abused the privilege. And when serving turns to controlling, it's no longer service. And it has a negative view to it. I want you to keep that in mind as we talk about serving God, because sometimes we take that out of context as well. And we want to control God. We want to tell God what we will do, and we want to have God do what we expect. Folks, that's not serving. We need to serve, and we need to serve with all of our heart. We're going to be in the Old Testament this morning. First, we're going to take a look at some challenges to serving. The basic text we're in is 1 Samuel chapter 12, if you want to find that in your Bible. Throughout the Old Testament, we see many opportunities with it, the nation of Israel, and how they can be consistent with the Lord. The problem is they were inconsistent. If you read through the book of Judges, and I need to do a sermon series through the book of Judges, but it's called a roller coaster. Now, we like roller coasters, don't we? Because you go up, and then you come screaming down, right? And they go up, and you come screaming down. That's exactly what the nation of Israel did with God. They were with God, and then they were away. And then they were with God, and then they were away. Over and over and over again, the cycle was repeating itself. The problem came with the people is when they lost focus of God. They lost focus of who He is. They lost focus of who they were supposed to be. And they wanted to rule God. They wanted to push God. They didn't want God to show them His way. If you remember, the nation of Israel, let me give you a little history lesson. The nation of Israel came out of Egypt because God released them. God redeemed them. He sent Moses to lead the people out. And yes, there were the plagues that overcame the nation of Egypt, that allowed for the release of the Israelites. But they were released, they came to the Mount Sinai, and there at Mount Sinai, they received the Ten Commandments and the other aspects of the law. And while Moses is receiving that, what was the nation of Israel doing? Less than 40 days, and they're going, oh, we don't know who God is. He led us out of Egypt, but we don't want to serve Him. So we'll build our own calf, we'll build our own God, and this is who we will serve. This is who we will pray to. This is, you know, this golden calf. And they were away from the Lord already. History continued to repeat itself throughout their wilderness wandering. For 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness, they refused to trust God, but they wanted to trust themselves. Finally, God did allow them into the promised land. But they fell back and forth away from God and into idolatry over and over and over again. Even going into the promised land, they were faltering and idolizing again. At the end of Judges, there comes a judge by the name of Samuel. We know him as a prophet, and he was referred to as a prophet in the scriptures as well. But in 1 Samuel chapter 3 through chapter 7, it tells us the ongoing issues that the nation of Israel had. Number one, they were 12 tribes that were living together, but they weren't a central government. They were 12 tribes that were in agreement with one another, and they were living together, but they were pestered by the Philistines. And the Philistines continued to pester them, so the nation of Israel rose up their army, and they went into battle, and they took the Ark of the Covenant into the battle because it is a good luck charm, and we're going to win this one. There's a whole other sermon on that one. But the ark was captured and the nation was defeated and the army ran. Later the ark was returned, and the ark was returned to Kiriath-Jearim. And at Kiriath-Jearim, it stayed there for 20 years. Folks, as we read through Scripture, it's so marvelous to see how many years transpire in just a paragraph. 20 years the ark stayed in Kiriath-Jearim. And the people could care less. Now, let me remind you, the ark is the presence of God. This was a representation of where God was seated, where they would serve God, where they would worship God. And they left it in this one guy's house, tucked away, and they could care less. But however, after 20 years, the people began to seek to worship God. Samuel was already on the scene. Samuel was already in a leadership role. But it took him 20 years to wake up to the realization that they weren't serving God, that they were doing things their own way. And when they finally awoke, Samuel gathered them together. I'm going to read from chapter 7. I know I told you chapter 12, but just a little bit of introduction getting into this. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 7 says, verse 2, it was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim. And all the people in Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all of your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and the Ashtaroths and they served the Lord. And the crowd went wild, right? Finally! Wonderful news! The Israelites are serving the Lord. They should have been doing it all along, but they had waited 20 years from when the ark had been returned before they were serving the Lord. And now they're getting together, now that Samuel has brought this to their attention. He tells them, you need to commit yourself to serving the Lord. One of the challenges to serving is our commitment. We want to say that we're serving the Lord, and all the while for this 20 years, the Israelites are saying, we're the people of God. And we serve the Lord God Almighty. We serve these other things, but we serve God. Problem is, they weren't serving Him. It was lip service, but not genuine service. There was no heart service there. And this is the challenge that we face even today. Other things will distract us from serving God. We have all sorts of idols and God's little g in our culture today, in our country, and dare I say, in our churches. We have things that will distract us away from what God wants us to be doing. We have things that lead us astray. And we'll hang on to those instead of hanging on to God. We will trust those instead of trusting God. And this is the challenge that we have to serving God, is we need to have our focus upon Him. We need to keep Him as the main thing. Instead of doing the traditions, doing what we've always done. Before the service started this morning, I was talking with some folks, and they asked, why was the piano moved over on the other side? Do you realize since we moved into this building almost 13 years ago, the piano has sat right here? In fact, when we moved it, we had to bring it up out of the indentations it had made in the concrete. No, not really. We moved the piano over to the other side, and it gives a different perspective, gives a different feel, and it gives a different sound. It's something different. We want to keep things alive. I jokingly said that they will find the piano out here in the middle next week. Who knows, right? We need to get out of our ruts. We need to have things fresh. We need to be able to serve the Lord in a genuine way instead of just going through the motions. Little things will distract us away from the Lord. Little things, if we allow them to do so. We have so many things going on in our lives today. You have a lot of irons in the fire, don't you? So many things. And we have almost perfected the art of multitasking. Right? Little things here and there that you can have going on at the same time, and those irons just keep getting warmed in the fire, and you take it out and you use it, and then you put it back in, take out another one. We like to do that. The problem is we've done that with God. He's just another iron in the fire. He's just something else that we've added to the mess of our lives. And we think that God is going to clean up this mess, that God is going to make this huge difference in our lives. But when we keep Him on the back burner, when we keep Him as just another poker in the fire, as we keep Him as just another additive, He is unable to affect us in the way that we need. Folks, we need to be serving the Lord with all of our heart. Notice Samuel asked and directed the nation of Israel, if you are going to return to the Lord with all of your heart, get rid of your other gods. Get rid of these other distractions. Get rid of everything else that is keeping you or prohibiting you from serving Him. But when you allow those distractions to continue, you will continue to be challenged in service to Him. There was another challenge that came up with Samuel. After they had made this renewed commitment to serving God, Samuel was getting a little bit on in years. And he had brought up his sons and wanted them to take over the responsibilities that he had as a judge, as a leader for the nation of Israel. But the elders of Israel came to Samuel and said, we don't like your sons. They are not with the same integrity as you. Rather than your sons leading us, why don't you appoint a king for us? Because a king is what everybody else has. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be like the nations around us. We need a king. We need somebody to lead us. And you appoint a king, we'll follow the king, and everything will be wonderful. When we start wanting to be like everybody else around us, we stop serving the Lord. And we start serving everything else. This is a challenge. And we face this challenge every day, right now. There is such a pull for us to be like everybody else around us. Just fit in. Don't make waves. But that's not what we read in the scriptures, is it? That's what we have bought into. That's what we have allowed the enemy to convince us. But folks, we need to serve the Lord with all of our heart. And not just do things for the sake of doing them. Not just be like everybody else. So we need to rise up against this challenge. God told Samuel, he said, give the people what they want. I will point out the individual I want you to anoint as king. And God chose Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. Sometimes, you know, in a trivia game, you say that David was the first king of Israel, right? And Saul was. Saul was the first king of Israel, but Saul was not a faithful man. He was faithful when he began, but he was not faithful much longer. The people, they were so excited when Samuel anoints Saul as the king. And they wanted to serve the Lord. They had everything going for them. Now they had a king who's going to point the way. But Samuel told them, if you have a king, you need to know what's going to happen. Because he's going to tax you. He's going to take the best of the produce. He's even going to take the best of the land. And they said, oh, that's okay. We still want a king. But things didn't go quite like they wanted it. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel confronts the people. He encourages them, but he confronts them by sharing with them the falterings of their forefathers and their continued faltering at this point. Even to the point of asking for a king, because when they asked for a king, they said, we want a man to rule us, we don't want God to rule us. They rejected the laws of God. They hadn't been following God's laws anyway, so let's have man's laws. At least man's laws we can influence and make him change. But you can't do that with God. And then they realized the things that they had done. First Samuel chapter 12, verse 19, the people all said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die, for we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. We've continued to be unfaithful, we have continued to be evil people, and now we've asked for a king, and now we realize it, and we're stuck. Do you realize that God is there to protect us? God wants to protect us and God wants to make everything right, but he's willing to forgive us, right? When we falter, he's willing to forgive us. But he also will allow us to face the consequences. I've known many individuals who find themselves incarcerated because of mistakes and sin that was in their life. And they pray to God and they ask for forgiveness and they know that they're forgiven, but they still are facing the consequences. They're still in jail. Consequences continue. So Samuel's response, verse 20, he said, do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right, but be sure to fear the Lord and to serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king, you will be swept away. He calls them to make a commitment. He calls them to serve the Lord with all of their heart. Samuel's directions, even though they had sinned, he knows that there is forgiveness for them, but they can overcome because God will forgive them, but they need to commit themselves to the Lord. This is the first step in serving the Lord with all of our heart, and that is to submit to Him. We have to be willing to submit to God. We have to be willing to acknowledge that He is God. We are not. He is the authority, not us. He is the one in control, not us. He is the one calling the shots, not us. And throughout Israel's history, they continually have been calling the shots and saying, well, God will bless it. God will bless it. God will bless it. No, He won't. And what they learned 4,000 years ago, we are still struggling with today. We think that we can continue to say, well, Lord, this is a good idea. I'm glad I have this idea. I'm going to do this. You bless it, Lord, please. And we think that we are calling the shots. We think that we have the control. We think that we are the end of all things. Oh, people, not us. God is the one in control, not us. We need to follow the leader, not lead him astray. Although God will not go astray, okay? We're the ones that go astray. So the first step in serving the Lord with all of our heart is to submit to Him. Samuel told the people, verse 24, he said, be sure to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all of your heart. Consider the great things that He has done for you. Consider the nation of Israel, that He has called you out of Egypt, that He has redeemed you out of slavery for 400 years. Consider Israel, that He has led you through the wilderness for 40 years and into the promised land, just as He told your forefathers, just as He secured His promise with you. Consider Israel, that He has brought you into this wonderful land. It is bountiful. It is fruitful. It is good. Consider Israel, that He has protected you, that He has had His hand against the Philistines these last several years because He loves you and He wants the best for you. Consider Israel, that you need to revere Him, that you need to submit to Him because He is God. And I want to say to you, Graceway Fellowship people of Green Bay, God is still on the throne. He is still alive, and He is still showing us His way. If we will stop, look, listen, and submit to Him. But many times we don't want to. We want to do it our way. We want to do it the way that other church is doing it. We want to be like everybody else. And folks, that's a distraction. If God wants to bless that other church, that's wonderful. But He wants to bless us too. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to listen. He wants us to submit. So we need to first submit. And then we need to serve. Serve is an action word. This is not a pie in the sky description of something. This is a verb. This is something that you do. When you say that you are serving God, you are doing something. I'm serving God. I came to church today, didn't I? That's serving God. I live in Israel. That's serving God. I'm called one of His people. That's serving God. You see, we use it as an adjective. We use it as something that describes something instead of something that you're doing. Let me just pretend, let's just all pretend that we have a servant at home. Oh, most of you do. It's called the dishwasher. Or a washer or dryer. Those are servants that we have purchased and placed in our home to do specific duties. When the servant is not doing its job, what do? You get a different one. You replace it. You put it out. I know I'm stepping on some toes here, but we need it. If we are no longer serving God, if we're no longer useful for the purpose to which He has called us, what would we expect God to do? We don't want to go there, do we? But that's the reality. That's the certainty that is here. Serving means to work, to perform a service, to bring to pass, to labor. Serving God is not always an easy task. It was never meant to be. Serving God requires commitment. Serving God requires time. Serving God requires your life. And now let me remind you, Christian, it's not your life. It's the life that He has given to you. It is His life that He has given to you. You died. And your will died. Your ways died. And now God has given you life. And He's given you life with a purpose. The purpose is so that you can glorify Him, so that you can honor Him, so that you can worship Him, so that you can serve Him. You know, many times we like to be resurrected. We resurrect ourselves and say, well, I want to serve God, but I want to serve God my way. And He'll accept my way because I've got some good ideas and I have some good skills and I have some good things going on. God's not impressed by us, folks. He wants to be pleased with us, but He wants us to be faithful to Him. He wants us to be faithful to the things to which He has called us. When we serve the Lord, we are doing His bidding, not ours. We serve Him His way, not the way that we want to do, because He is the master. We are the servants. When I go down to the washing machine, and sometimes I do, Julie does it most of the time, but sometimes I go down to the washing machine, okay? I know where it is. I don't take the wet clothes out and then put them right back in and expect them to dry. Because that's not the function or the purpose of the washing machine, to dry the clothes. That's the dryer's responsibility, right? The dryer is crafted and gifted in drying the clothes, where the washer is gifted in washing the clothes, and the dishwasher upstairs is gifted in washing the dishes. God equips us individually to minister, to serve. That's what ministry means, is to serve. And He has called us to serve. He's called us to serve in specific ways. Now, there are just some general calls of service. We are all responsible to win the world for Christ. We're all responsible to make disciples of all nations. We are all responsible to be faithful to God, to be praying for one another, to encourage one another, to build up one another. But He has also gifted us in very specific ways. Ephesians 4, if you remember a couple of months ago, we looked in Ephesians 4 that He has called some to be pastors and teachers and evangelists and apostles so that they can prepare God's people to do work. Works of service. He didn't say that he has called pastors and apostles and teachers so that they can do all of the work and the rest of us can say, yay, go team. He's called some to prepare others so that more service, more ministry can be done. God has called us all to serve. He's not called us to sit. He's not called us just to be. He's called us to serve. And His expectation is that the way in which He has gifted you, that you would use that for His church, for His glory, to further His kingdom. That you're not just sitting on it, but you're using it. You're active in that. when he is asking the nation of Israel to serve him. He expected them to abide by the laws and commands that he has given to them so that they would serve him exclusively. That there would not be any of the other idols, but only the Lord that they would be serving, that they would be doing and worshiping. And that all the rest of the nations would look at him and say, "What is going on with you? Who is blessing you? Because we don't see that." It's because they're serving dead idols that have no breath, that have no life, that have no function. When they were serving the Lord, things were going well. Their crops were good. Their rains would come. And they were being blessed. But when they failed to serve the Lord, they suffered discipline. Samuel's message to them was, you need to serve the Lord with all of your heart. Give him your full devotion. If you weren't here a few weeks ago when we started this series, we took a look with all of your heart, that this is a Hebrew idiom that meant fully devoted. Giving your all with all of your heart. He didn't say, it'd be okay just half-heartedly serve me. No, serve me with all that you are. Serve me with everything that you have. Serve me in every area of your life. He wanted them to have exemplary lives. And this was not a message that was unfamiliar to them. Let me read for you from 350 years prior to Samuel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 and 14. As Moses was reminding the people before they entered into the promised land, he said, "So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather your grain, new wine, and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied." Serve the Lord with all of your heart and your soul. With everything about you, serve me, and you will see the bountiful produce. But the nation of Israel didn't get it. So after they had come into the promised land, after they had conquered the majority of the land through the leadership of Joshua, as Joshua is dismissing the eastern tribes, some of you may or may not realize this, but there were some tribes that wanted to settle on the east side of the Jordan River, the tribe of Reuben, of Gad, and a half-tribe of Manasseh. But their commitment was, we will allow our women and children, we will allow our families to set up camp here, but we will fight, we will go into the promised land, and we will conquer the promised land with our brothers. We will be the nation of Israel as God has called us, and we will fulfill our commitment. After they had come into the land, after they had conquered the land, then Joshua dismisses them and says, "You may go back to your families now. You may go back to the other side of the Jordan. You may take up the land and you may be as the Lord has called you to be. However, remember this." Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. "Be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave to you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to obey his commands, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. You may return, you may go there, but don't forget why you are called. Don't forget who you are. You are the family of God. Serve the Lord with all of your heart. Serve him with all of your soul. Be obedient to the things that he has commanded you." And folks, we need to hear that today. Something very interesting, as Moses was standing before Pharaoh, each of the times that he appeared before Pharaoh during the times of the plagues, he asked Pharaoh to let my people go. We've watched the Ten Commandments, right? Cecil B. DeMille's, right? I almost say it word for word. It's not 100% accurate, but it's fairly accurate. But every time he appeared before Pharaoh, he said, let the people go, now listen, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do not hinder them from serving the Lord. Do not hold them back from serving the Lord. Do not prevent them from worshiping and honoring and obeying and serving God Almighty. And every time, Pharaoh said, nope. And then he started saying, well, if I let you go serve the Lord, how about just the men? How about just for a few days? Until after that 10th plague when Pharaoh's son had died. Pharaoh's words were, go and serve the Lord your God. Go serve the Lord. Go and serve the Lord. Listen, this is Pharaoh, the unbeliever, the pagan, the idol worshiper, and he is giving encouragement to the nation of Israel, go and serve the Lord. What more encouragement could we need today? Considering everything that the Lord has made available to us, he has placed us in a wonderful nation. He has given us freedoms that abound. He has given us safety and security. He has given us redemption through Jesus Christ. He has given us his grace. He has given us salvation. He has given us this forgiveness. He has given us all things that we would need. He has given to us, if you're a believer today, he has given to you spiritual gifts through the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. He has given you access to the power of God. The same power that was available to Jesus when he walked on the earth is the power that's available to us today. He has given to us vision. He has given to us directives. He has given to us his scriptures. He has given to us all of these things, and he continues to bless us. What is our problem? Why would we not serve the Lord? Consider everything that God has done in your life. Let's get selfish a little bit, okay? In your life. Look at all that God has done. And you hear me say it, hear Pharaoh say it, hear the scriptures say it, go and serve the Lord. As Samuel said, not half-heartedly, not just a little bit, serve him with all of your heart, serve him with all of your soul, give him your all. Because he has given to you his. Serve the Lord. Serve him. Do something. Let your salvation be known. Let your commitment to Christ be known. Serve the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we stand not much different than the Israelites because we've been on and off again with you just as they were. And Lord, we realize that we have to face the consequences for our choices. And in those consequences, it's not always an easy road for us. Yet, Lord, we thank you that we have this to hang on. That it is through your love that you make all things possible for us. That you have made us into a new creation. And you make all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, may we stand upon these promises and assurances, and may we serve you faithfully. We pray that you would strengthen us today as individuals, but even more so, that you would strengthen us as your body, the church. That you would strengthen us as a church family. That we would be willing to commit to remove the distractions away from us and allow you to be clear in our focus. We pray that you would give to us the the vision that we need as individuals and as a church to take action and not just talk about ministry, not just talk about being a Christian, but that we would put it into practice. Father, you have given to us opportunities that abound in being able to share our faith and being able to live out our commitment to you. And so, Lord, help us with that on a day-to-day basis, a moment-by-moment basis, that we would be honorable to you in all things. Strengthen us as your people, we pray, and help us to commit to you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, that we may bring you glory in Jesus' name. Our invitation is a little bit different today. I'm going to ask that you just stay seated. Steve is going to sing for us. Why don't you just listen to the words? You may even want to close your eyes. And just listen to the words of the servant song. And realize that God is calling you to be his servant. That you would serve him faithfully today and every day. If you need to make a commitment to the Lord, I invite you to come forward during this time. But listen to what God is saying to you.